Welcome. It's Thursday night and time for Psychic Viewpoint on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com with your hosts, Maureen Hollering, Steve Frampton, Brenda McCoy, and Bobby Marcheso. During the second half of the show, call in to connect for a free psychic reading. Join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with this week's show.
Good evening. My name is Brenda McCoy. I'm also known as Lady Brenda, and you are listening to The Psychic Viewpoint, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. This evening, author Raven Grimassi will be joining us to talk about ancestral memory and accessing it. Before we get started, please join me in welcoming my fabulous co-hosts. Hey, Maureen, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing okay, thank you very much. I'm looking forward to your show.
Well, it's going to be very interesting. I am too. Would you tell us a little bit about your work, honey?
Yeah.
Come on.
Okay. Yes, I work. I'm an intuitive, empath, psychic advisor, and I love my work. I work at PsychicAccess.com with the rest of my co-hosts here as well. I've been doing this all my life. Thanks.
Well, thank you.
Sure.
And Steve, are you done with your curry? Can you tell us how you are this evening? Hello, Steve.
You didn't come back. Oh yeah. Hi. Right, it's me.
Oh, okay.
Hello.
Still eating his curry. Okay.
Well, I can fill in for Steve if you want.
Bobby, how are you doing?
I'm a fabulous psychic. My name is Steve. I'm absolutely wonderful, and I'm very accurate. And you can find me on PsychicAccess.com. And hi, I'm Bobby, and I would totally back up everything Steve just said.
Okay.
He is amazing.
You're hilarious.
Well, Steve, there, is he still eating?
He might be eating.
Okay, well, tell us about yourself, your fabulous self.
My fabulous self. Yeah. Well, like Maureen, intuition, psychicness, mediumship, all different facets of this crazy wild ride, and I have not been doing it all my life, but I've been doing it for a while now, and absolutely, love being in the energy and love helping other people find their way as well. So there you have it. Right, Maureen?
Yes, exactly.
Thank you, Bobby. Steve, are you there? Hello, Steve.
Oh, Steve.
Well, we're mourning.
He must have fallen into that bowl of curry. You know,
it must be really delish.
That's when the curry eats you, not the other way around. Well, we are waiting for Steve to introduce himself, but in the meantime, I work with I'm Lady Brenda, Brenda McCoy, and I work with you fabulous people, and I am a predictive psychic. I specialize in dates, times, and places.
There you go. Might as well just start doing the show, I guess.
Might as well. Hey, Steve, are you there? Hello, Earth to
One
Steve.
Last time.
Okay.
All right.
Well, tonight we're going to be speaking to Raven Grimassi, and Raven is an award-winning author of 7 books on Wicca and the old religion, including The Wiccan Mysteries, which was awarded the Best Book of the Year and Best Spirituality Book of 1998 by the Coalition of Visionary Retailers. Wiccan Magic, Italian Witchcraft, previously titled The Ways of the Strega, Hereditary Witchcraft, The Encyclopedia of Wicca and Witchcraft, which was awarded the Best Nonfiction Book in 2001 by the Coalition of Visionary Retailers as well. Beltane and the forthcoming title, The Witch's Craft. Neo-Pagan books and various published articles. He is also a recognized expert on Italian witchcraft traditions and the foremost authority on the works of Charles Godfrey Leland in this particular field. Grimassi is the directing elder of the Arican tradition, a system of Italian witchcraft. He is also a member of the American Folklore Society. He, along with his wife Stephanie Taylor, are also the creators of the Well-Worn Path system of divination based on the mystery traditions. You can find more information about Raven on Wikipedia and www.ravengrimasi.net. Good evening, Raven. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Brenda. Thanks for having me.
Oh, I know. I'm just so thrilled. Yay! Well, this subject that we're talking about tonight is kind of, I think it's a follow-up, but correct me if I'm wrong. We had a show last week on past life regressions. Is ancestral memory and accessing the ancestral DNA, does that have anything to do with past life regressions?
Well, there's certainly a relationship, although where past life regression is more about tracking, you know, your soul memory, which, you know, your soul may or may not have been tied to any specific repetitive bloodlines, whereas when you're actually looking at the DNA within you, on a material basis, you're certainly looking at a lineage of individuals that go back. So I think that, you know, the past life is kind of more expansive as to the soul's journey, whereas ancestral memory is really more about a material or physical lineage, although there are techniques to also tie into a spiritual lineage of ancestors. You know, so it's related, but not quite the same thing.
Interesting. What inspired you to write about this subject?
Well, in my own tradition, the veneration of the ancestors is very important, and I was looking at the idea one day. I was doing a lot of reading on kind of cutting-edge botany and special spiritual botany movements, and I was looking to understand really DNA better, you know, because that's really the stuff that makes us. And so that seemed to be a really important place to look. You know, why is a soul drawn to a particular bloodline? You know, why does it reincarnate in a specific, you know, lineage? And so I started looking at the idea of the importance of DNA, and what really struck me and made me want to write about it is a couple of things. One is that the DNA spiral looks very much like a caduceus. And so that intrigued me because caduceus is the idea of health of body, mind, and spirit. And so I also noticed that in all cultures that venerate ancestors, there's always a serpent symbol. The serpent mm-hmm. seems to be representative of the ancestral lineage. So here you have this DNA that looks serpent-like. You have the idea of ancestors and these serpent-type, you know, configurations. So I started thinking, well, I wonder what else is passed to us in the DNA. Besides the set of instructions on how to build this. So I started looking at energy and that type of thing, you know, which kind of led me into creating the book Cauldron of Memory, Retrieving Ancestral Wisdom.
So, and for those people in the audience that don't know what the caduceus is, that's like, I mean, we can see that current symbol. It's like a medical symbol, right? It's with the two
right.
wings and then it's the three-coiled serpent. It's the symbol for,
yeah.
like, it's a medical symbol or doctor symbol, correct?
Today it is, but it really comes from the original Greek usage of it. You have a center pole, which represents balance, strength of body, mind, and spirit. Then you have two serpents on each side that kind of coil in and out. And some of the caduceus symbols in ancient times, there were wings at the top and a little globe set on top. So today you see that symbol as the medical profession, but again, it's tied to health and well-being. So they sort of retained, you know, that imagery in using the modern caduceus.
That is really fascinating because that image of the two wings and that little globe in the middle, you know, in the Egyptian, that's a very Egyptian symbol. It's also an Egyptian power tool, but those wings with that globe, they have that above the temples. It represents time travel. And when you're talking about this, I thought to myself, that's pretty interesting that would be something that would be represented on that.
Yeah, there's definitely an interesting tie-in between these ancient societies, and we do know historically that the Greeks, you know, went into Egypt, and, you know, and so you've got a tie-in between those two cultures having met and commingled at some point in ancient history.
Right. And now, how does accessing our ancestral memory and DNA, how can it be helpful for us in this lifetime?
Well, you know, that's a complicated subject, but I'll try and give a simpler answer to it. The idea behind why you would even want to do this is kind of twofold. We have what we call the living river of blood, and this is a concept of the ancestral memory flowing through time, and each living generation is the keeper of that ancestral river of blood. The teaching is that the ancestors have a vested interest in each generation surviving so that the memory of the lineage continues on. It's, you know, it's how they continue to live in you know, some facet. So we become the keepers of the river of blood. And what we can do is go back into the ancestral memory and retrieve things, something as simple as, you know, reconstructing rituals. Reconstructing techniques for healing. You know, a lot of the diseases and a lot of the healings were in our ancestral line. These were people who used herbs and natural substances, you know, for healing because doctors weren't available to the majority of people in ancient times. So our ancestors knew about health and healing and proper ways of using things and potions and mixing this and that. So we can actually tap in and retrieve this healing and the spiritual kind of energy that they pass to us. So it's both for our own well-being, but also, you know, to continue and retrieve the ancient knowledge of a time when humans lived in common cause with nature rather than trying to master it like in modern times.
Exactly. So if they are passing this memory to us, you know, as far as like healing and stuff like that, would they be passing also like specific gifts, like, you know, people who are psychic or have psychic abilities, you know, sometimes they say something like, oh, it skips a generation. Would that be included in that ancestral memory there?
Yes, it definitely would, because the teaching behind all of this is that everything that our ancestors had accomplished and achieved was recorded within their own DNA memory, and that those DNA were passed to us. So we have within us the talents, the gifts, as you say, the abilities to know various things, which really come kind of within the cellular memory is how I phrase it. So these things were never forgotten. They were recorded and passed on. We bear them within us now. I was talking to a fellow occultist about that, and he was saying, where do you think the dead dwell? And we were talking about all these myths and legends of, you know, in the underworld, in the other world, you know, whatever it might be. And he said, well, don't you think maybe they live within us? And that sort of gave me that chill of affirmation, and I thought, you know, technically, yeah, they sort of do, because the DNA within us is the DNA that was within them. That's why, you know, somebody can dig up an ancestor of yours, you know, 500 years ago and prove you're directly related to that individual by testing your DNA and that ancestor's DNA. So those parts have been carried in each living generation. So we have an actual way to focus and actually touch that DNA memory because it never disappeared.
You know, that is so fascinating, and when I think about it, I think of like the Mesopotamians and how they have, you know, on their temples that symbol of the DNA, you know, threads. You know, and you think about it, and that brings me to my next question. In your research for your book, did you find that a lot of the ancient cultures had a similar like symbols and belief in this DNA? I mean, it's curious because they didn't have microscopes back then, or maybe they had some way of knowing it, what was in the actual blood.
Yeah, and it's very interesting, isn't it? Because these societies did seem to know. I'm sure they wouldn't have used terms like DNA, but as I mentioned earlier, all these societies that venerated ancestors all have snake symbolism. Mm-hmm. And so the serpent becomes this thread you're talking about, or this DNA spiral. So they use that symbol frequently, and we find it in the Mexican, like the Aztec cultures. And,
exactly.
You know, in the Greek and Roman, the Romans had the Lare spirit, which was the ancestral spirit. Lares were always standing with a snake kind of going past their feet, you know, mm-hmm. the path that was walked by their ancestors. And so Yeah, that symbol shows up a lot. But like I said, I don't think that the ancients would have known about the DNA per se, but they certainly had some kind of an awareness of the mechanism. What they called it was probably, difficult for us to kind of, find, but I'm sure that they knew these concepts by different names.
Well, now that brings me to this new field of study that was mentioned in your book called morphogenesis. Am I saying it correctly?
The morphogenetic fields is the there's a biologist named Rupert Sheldrake, and he began experimenting with what he later came to call these morphogenetic fields, and he believes that knowledge, memory, communication all passes through these fields, and that he believes is part of the mechanism for evolution. A couple of examples he gives is like they've done studies where if there's a specific tree and it's being, say, infested with beetles, there is a chemical released from the leaves of the infected tree, and it's carried on the wind to the trees around it, and that's absorbed through their leaves. And they will, in response to this, thicken their leaves and their bark against the infection of these beetles. So there's a communication going on. Well, that fascinated him. How is this going on? These trees are talking to each other about this situation and then, preparing for the infestation. So he began to think, evolution must work much quicker than we've ever imagined. And then he began studies on people and societies and cultures, and he realized that a culture generates its own morphogenetic field, kind of like a group mind consciousness, and people are affected by it, by the morphogenetic field, and they fall into line, so to speak. They understand the terminology and the laws and the culture, and they become a bit of that group mind because of the communicated morphogenetic field. So it was a really it's a fascinating thing. There was a study done decades ago, and they found this group of monkeys on an island who one day one of the monkeys rinsed off this piece of food that the monkeys always eat, but it's always sandy. But he rinsed it off and ate it, and the other monkeys were looking at him, and so they started rinsing theirs off. And what happened was within a decade or so, the surrounding island population of monkeys who had no direct contact with those monkeys also began rinsing off these foods before eating them in the water. So he was saying this is how morphogenetic fields work. They generate new ideas and breakthroughs in evolution through these energetic fields that we're all tied into. And he used that as an example of how he thinks that these communications go out and how evolution begins to work much quicker than we've ever realized. Together by an energy pattern. Mm-hmm. So you have the material DNA stuff, but you also have energy wrapped around it, holding it cohesive. That's where the ancestor memory lies, within that energy. To me, it's almost like, you have the hard drive on your computer, holds electromagnetic charges, and you can download data into it and then retrieve that data through interfacing. The interfacing for a computer, obviously, is a keyboard. That keyboard allows you to communicate with the hard drive and be able to bring up documents and photos and whatever you want on your computer. So the idea is we need an interfacing mechanism to connect with our DNA memory. If we have time, I'd like to take just a couple minutes to give you an example.
Yes, please. Yes, go ahead.
Okay. There is a was a book out. It's out of print now. Called The Cosmic Serpent by Jeremy Narby. He was an anthropologist. And he lived among the South American Indians for quite some period of time, but they seemed to be different than other tribes he'd ever practiced with. Long story short, one day he asked them, he says, I'm having trouble understanding you. And he says, and the shaman says, well, that's because you've never drank the sacred juice. And he said, well, I've seen people drink the juice, and I don't want to do that, because you've seen him do what scientists would call hallucinate, what a shaman would call have a vision. So long story short, he ends up drinking the juice, and what he finds is this giant serpent appears to him. And the serpent says, I am the creator of everything, And the serpent then begins to teach him all about this tribe and their legends and how their magic works. So he's actually downloading all of this ancestral memory, if you think about it, in his vision. And when he went back to England, he was showing films of the drawings of these serpents and whatnot that the shamans have. And one of the people who was a scientist friend of his said, you know, those drawings are exact duplicates of DNA replicating itself. He said, I could show you in the lab, if I match these drawings to actual DNA spirals that are duplicating, you'll see the same exact image. So the other person said, well, you know, and there, when DNA divides, there's a flash of brilliant multicolored light that really quickly forms a little squiggle mark that looks very much like a serpent. And what the shaman and the anthropologist had experienced is that the serpent that appeared to them is multicolored. So the conclusion was that these shamans had found a way to directly communicate with their DNA, that the spiral, the serpent, was actually the living consciousness of their own DNA. So here's the scientific community going, yeah, that looks interesting. You know, so it's not just, you know, the metaphysical society, but it's actual scientific society going, there's something here. So what I do in the book is I talk about techniques to descend into the cellular memory. And it's very simple techniques where you envision yourself, you know, going down into the cavern of the ancestors, and where you meet them, and then they give you this object through a visual image that actually becomes a way to retrieve your DNA. And mm-hmm. one of the things that was really strong about this whole idea was when I first began studying cauldron mythology, I ran across Celtic myths and legends in which there's always this hidden cauldron of knowledge and enlightenment, and it's always hidden down in a cave, in the underworld, in a dungeon. And mm-hmm. you have to go on a journey to retrieve it. And once you do, you taste the brew in the cauldron, and you retrieve the enlightenment. So I started thinking, well, that is a excellent pattern for trying to retrieve DNA memory within you, to do this meditation of descending inward to yourself and calling that the cauldron of the ancestors, and then visualizing this sort of line of people to the horizon that are all of your ancestors, and then they present you with a cauldron, and that's the cauldron of memory, and you retrieve that and you bring it up. And in the book I have techniques in which you do meditations mm-hmm. by seeing the cauldron on the what people in modern times would call the chakra points of your body, and allowing the ancestral memory to sort of blend and merge with your chakras so that you can raise this consciousness.
That is so fascinating. And you know, the ancients knew about the chakra systems too. It's nothing right. that they could have dissected a body and seen. It would have to be a visionary thing on an ancestral memory, perhaps.
I think the ancients were closer to the enchanted worldview of our ancestors. They believed in magic, and they believed in the other world. You know, they believed in things that today many people don't. Pardon me. So they were able to see these things more clearly than we can today.
They weren't blasted by television?
Well, that and skepticism and a lot of religions that were countering, you know, these basic beliefs. They didn't have to deal with, you know, sort of fundamentalist pressure. They lived in a world in which everyone believed in the gods and everyone believed in magic, and there really weren't anti-forces around they had to deal with. Today, you know, there are other religious belief systems that try to make all of this negative or foolish, or they try to suppress it, you know. So I think it's difficult for the average person to feel free enough to explore some of these metaphysical exercises.
Well, I think it would probably benefit all of us, especially if there's some type of illness, for example, diabetes that comes mm-hmm. through a family on a physical level, you know.
Right.
That, I mean, it seems to me that would be something if one of your ancestors in the past had a way of dealing with it in such a way you could probably heal yourself.
Well, there are techniques that I talk about where you actually can go in and you do a meditative journey where you connect with the serpent itself, which is the DNA, and you talk to it about returning your body to its original patterns of energy and its original health vessel, you know, and you encourage it to help stop the illness that's in your body or to reverse it or whatever. So there are techniques in which you can do healing work to try and reverse the DNA memory and put it back to the ancestors that were healthy and bypass the one that you awoke, which is the disease. Because we kind of see these are sleeping in the DNA and they can awaken as cancer or diabetes or whatever. So if they can awaken on their own, then we certainly must be able to turn it off or reverse it. And so I talk about some techniques of working with that.
So you have to bypass the GIMP, right?
in your
DNA. it makes a lot of sense. It really does, because we are a product of it's awesome to think that we are a product, you know, on not only cellular but other levels of everybody who came before us, you know.
Right. We have that connection. We have the strengths and the weaknesses, but you know, the value that we have is we can consciously work with that and change that. You know, their lives are already over, but, you know, we're still dealing with ours, and so we can draw on them helping us, and we can also use our own abilities of mind and spirit to work on the physical vessel that we're currently inhabiting.
And what about other things, like besides just physical, like emotional stuff or patterns of karma from the past? You know, that we may have brought, like, from a few generations back. Do you
mm-hmm.
think that, like a karmic pattern could be brought forth and we would have to deal with it just almost like something from a past life?
Well, there's this interesting thing that several writers are dealing with now, and it's a fascinating philosophy, and it's called redeeming the ancestors. And what this is about is the idea that there is contamination from the ancestors. Say you had ancestors who were, you know, criminals or slave owners or whatever it might have been, you know, that you kind of inherit the ancestral stain of that. So the idea of redeeming your ancestors is to go back and make restitution or give offerings to release that, let's call it, stain. By doing that, your DNA pattern changes because you've redeemed the ancestral vibration, the thing that caused them to be bound to this karma that was passed to you. By releasing them through redemptive work, you actually unchain yourself in the current living generation. It's a fascinating field of study. People have gone back and like to battlefields or to prison camps, like in the old Civil War, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe they were slave owners, or their ancestor was the, you know, the captain of the prison or whatever. And they've gone back and actually asked for forgiveness, placed offerings, you know, sang songs, you know, tried to change the energy vibration in order to redeem the ancestors. I hate to use the word sin because I don't really believe in sin, but this karmic stain, I guess. So it's an interesting idea.
It's interesting because we're finding out, you know, it just seems like more and more things, you know, that we're finding out they knew more than we did, perhaps.
Yeah.
Because they didn't have the blocks in
mm-hmm.
their thinking and you know, and they were more, it was more of a continuous thread of honoring their ancestors. And you had mentioned the Native Americans, and I remember going into, you know, attending some Native American sweat lodges.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever been to a sweat?
I have.
Isn't it fascinating? See, the one I went to, they did three sweats. One was for the physical body, the emotional, and the spiritual. And each time it was like going into a womb.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had to honor, when you went through the threshold, you had to honor your ancestors. Isn't that interesting?
Right. Yeah, it's fascinating. These old cultures were very rooted in the idea that there is never anything severed. Everything is connected and always remains connected. So from that philosophy, it makes perfect sense that your ancestors are still with you, however you want to define that, but they're still with you. And if they're still with you, then there's a give and take. There can be exchanges on both ends.
Right. Absolutely. Well, and so what about some of your own? Now, inquiring minds want to know, have you gone and accessed some of this? And could you tell us a little bit about some of your experiences? Because I know you. I know you've experimented with this.
Yes, indeed. I don't write about anything that I've not done myself.
I like to hear that.
I'm sorry?
I like to hear that.
So everything I write about, if it's a magical technique or a ritual or, you know, call it a memory DNA kind of stuff, it's things that I've definitely already done and feel experienced with, and then I share through my writings. For myself, I've done a lot of the ancestral work, partly to recover, first of all, the idea of what was it like to live in the enchanted world of our ancestors, to get that primal idea and feeling of what magic is. For example, in ancient times, they didn't know what the moon was. They had no idea what it could be. And it was just this light that came up seemingly from beneath the earth, crossed the sky, you know, came back and had different shapes during the month. That must have been to them so magical because they had no idea what it was. And I think that that's where the basis of magic begins, with this sort of awe-struck feeling and not knowing what that is and trying to form ideas around it. So I've used ancestral memory to try and go back to a time and kind of erase my memory of knowing the moon is a satellite, you know, and trying to erase the memory of knowing that the moon doesn't come up from beneath the earth, you know, that we're a ball in space and it's orbiting around us. That robs us of the magic. So my first dealings with ancestral memory retrieval was trying to go back and help them help me feel what it was like for them in that time. And once I could feel that, I was able then to call upon ancestors who had that memory and then say, what were your rituals like? How did you celebrate? How did you venerate the moon? And then get ideas about the rituals they performed and the techniques and the symbols they used. And I kept moving up through time with each group of ancestors, you know, tapping into my Roman lineage and saying, you know, how were the Lare spirits of the ancestors venerated? You know, what items were used? And I would get information about using spelt grain, drawing certain symbols. And the beauty of working with the ancestral memory is it isn't your imagination, because almost without exception, within a couple months of retrieving something like a symbol or a ritual or whatever, there's confirmation. You'll run into it somewhere. You'll see a movie, or there'll be a book, or somebody will bring something up. You'll read it in a magazine, and all of a sudden you realize, wow, that's exactly what I retrieved before reading this. And so that happens so frequently that I call it confirmation. Mm-hmm. The ancestors don't want you to think you're crazy, so they confirm these things for you. You know, and you go, oh, okay. I've also used it for healing techniques. I had really bad asthma when I was a teenager, and all these horrible allergies, and got to the point where they had me on an inhaler. They had weather strips around the windows. I was taking all these medications every day, and I decided I'm not going to live like this. And so I kind of went deeper into the strength. I wouldn't have thought about it like I do today or use the same terminology, but that's really what it was. I went to my ancestors, and I called upon them to reverse that, to not have that be the emanation that is attached to this body. I wanted the emanation of ancestors who breathed clean air and, you know, sat in fields of wheat and, you know, weren't sneezing their heads off, you know. So,
what about cats and dogs?
You know, yeah. So, you know, so it kind of, it worked on many levels. I actually, in one summer, I freed myself completely and never, ever had an asthma attack or allergy attack after that one summer. And I was probably, I'm guessing, 16. So I actually freed myself from all the medications and the the allergic reactions just in the summer of working with kind of this ancestral current.
That is very fascinating. We're going to take about a minute here for a commercial, and we'll get right back to you, okay?
Yeah.
A new era in psychic services has begun. PsychicAccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at psychicaccess.com?
So you were talking about how you had freed yourself from asthma and allergies at a very young age, and that kind of like segues into what my next question was going to be about children, especially really young children. And you know, a lot of times they are, and we talked about this on the show last week, we were talking about past lives and stuff, and a lot of times young kids, and I noticed with my daughter that she would actually see people that she knew from the past, or that like an elderly woman would come to her crib when she was just an infant, or she was just little, just learning to talk, and I would actually, you know, sometimes I would actually see or sense that person. Would the ancestors actually physically manifest if they want to, like, pass on some of these things, or is this mostly only on the esoteric level?
Well, in my own opinion, you know, and working with, you know, what I would call the spirits of the dead versus the ancestral memory, there are individuals who retain connection, you know, for maybe even 2 or 3 generations, where it could actually be a grandmother in spirit still connected to the living generation. She hasn't joined what I would call the ancestral collective mind. She's retained her individuality and still does visitations. You know, it's like in the case of your daughter. I remember my mother, her mother died in childbirth, and one day when my mother was, I think, about 5, she was in the bathroom, and this woman just suddenly appeared and sort of squatted down and waved her hand like, you know, come here, you know. Mm-hmm. And she was afraid because she didn't know who this woman was, so she ran out of the bathroom, and she was telling her father what had happened. And her father took her up into his room to kind of calm her down because the family was downstairs. And when she went into the room, she saw a picture on the wall, and she pointed and she said, "That's the woman." And that was his wife, the mother that died giving her childbirth. So I think that these spirits attach themselves and stay with families and don't get absorbed into the ancestral collective memory. At least, you know, maybe for 1 or 2 generations. It's hard to say what the, you know, how that all works. But so sometimes I think there are spirits that, let's call them ghosts, mm-hmm. who are, you know, your relatives who can see you and come to you and that type of thing. But I think the older memory, the older ancestors are in the collective, and they don't really manifest to you like that.
And you had talked about, what I found fascinating was when you were talking about the cauldron and the fluid that's in the cauldron, and you know, there's so much symbology, even in astrology, you know, with the sign of Aquarius and that fluid that's coming out, and it's not really a water and stuff like that. How do you think that would relate to the whole, you know, premise of like the Holy Grail and what's contained within that? Do you suppose that's related in some way?
Well, yeah, sort of, kind of. I mean, there is the, let's call it the DNA soup, you know, the soup of life itself. These,
right.
You know, our bodies are dependent upon fluid. We're mostly fluid. Our physical bodies are, what, 90% water?
Mm-hmm.
So this idea of this fluidity, this life essence, you know, certainly is part of it. Ideas like the Grail, these go back to ancient ideas of womb gates and how life passes in and out of the womb. Gate from material, from the spirit world into the material world. And later on, they saw this as the idea of a lake or, you know, a large body of water contained, and this sort of became the idea of the cauldron or the Grail, and they were always associated with, typically with goddesses mostly.
Mm-hmm.
So the original Grails were actually womb symbols. It doesn't become masculine until really the sort of King Arthur and whole Jesus connection, you know, in which Christianity takes the womb of the goddess chalice and makes it the Holy Grail of the Christ spirit.
And it's referred to a lot of time as the chalice of immortality or the womb of immortality, which would totally tie into ancestral DNA threads or, you know, that being passed on.
Well, absolutely, and then as I was saying earlier, the earlier myths were about cauldrons, and these were cauldrons of immortality. They were cauldrons of enlightenment. I mean, the Holy Grail is an offshoot of the ancient cauldron mysteries and the brews within the cauldron, these spiritual magical brews. So yeah, it all ties in extremely.
Well, it makes sense, but it doesn't make you want to go out and drink some of that juice, or I guess eat peyote buttons, like in what was that book in the 70s, the Don
Carlos
Juan Carlos Castaneda.
Yeah, right, the Don Juan book, yeah.
And
yeah, well,
the,
you know, there are systems, you know, that use substances like that, and often they were used to train people who were resistant to the idea of otherworldness or the supernatural. And so in order to break down that barrier, you know, they would make them take hallucinatory substances so they could see non-material reality and experience it. And that was one of the early techniques, was just to give a resistant person a peyote button and watch them see the world in a different way.
Right, exactly. So, what do you believe are some, and we touched on some of the key, you know, life lessons that could be achieved by accessing this cauldron of memory. I mean, it seems to me that, you know, if you really got into this, because, you know, everybody here listening is a seeker. They wouldn't be coming to this show unless they were seeking to improve themselves in some way.
Exactly.
You know? So, wouldn't you agree that accessing the cauldron of memory would add so much more dimension to our lives on all so many different levels? What lessons can we take from that?
Well, you know, I think that the cauldron, working with the cauldron and the ancestral memory thing is a way to elevate yourself and to kind of speed up the process of spiritual evolution, because it ties you into living currents from the past that move into the present and then flow into the future. So it's a way to become actively involved. You know, all these old stories, you just mentioned seekers. Well, the old cauldron myths were like that. You had to go on a quest to find these cauldrons of enlightenment. So the cauldron keeper, as I refer to it in the book, is a person who's devoted their spiritual path to seeking this cauldron within them of enlightenment, of immortality, of health, of regeneration, rejuvenation, and to master the techniques and then have them available to share and to teach to other people. So I devote the last part of the book to the path of the cauldron keeper and becoming a cauldron keeper, which means moving into these inner mysteries and learning to work with the ancestral current, or what I call the living river blood within you. If you think about it, each person alive on this planet is a direct descendant in an unbroken chain of humans back to the very beginning. And that's a powerful thought. So you are currently standing here in this present moment because each of your ancestors lived long enough to reproduce in a direct line. Now you're the living representation of this unbroken line going all the way back into the remote past. And I think there's a lot of power in that. By claiming that and seeing your role as someone who's clearing the path and moving further than the ancestors did, the idea of spiritual evolution and growth, I think the life lessons of our ancestors are important to pull out of the past, because they understood how to live in common cause with nature. Collectively, as humans, we've forgotten what that's about. And I think that that's why there's so much disease and turmoil and upheaval in the world, is because we've tried to master nature, and we should have remained in common cause with her.
Boy, true words have never been spoken, let me tell you, because it just seems like the harder we try to push against all this, the more it slams us back. It really does. It makes us, it's humbling, actually, in a way, and it for us to recognize that thread that goes way back, like you said. Wouldn't you agree? We need to honor that. I mean, we have to make it count for something in this lifetime. At least that's what I think. But that's spoken like a Capricorn.
Well, you know, I think it's true. My latest book is Old World Witchcraft, and it talks about what I call the Greenwood realm of magic. And the Greenwood, you know, idea is about, you know, here we live in an age when there's so much doom and gloom prophecies. And humans are always prophesizing the destruction of their world, you know, and the end of their society and the end of this and the end of that. And the Greenwood realm of nature says, no, life continues. You know, look at a sidewalk. There's a crack in the sidewalk. What's in the crack in the sidewalk? A plant, a weed, some grass. Nature says, it doesn't matter. Life will continue. You can join the Greenwood realm philosophy as humans and survive and grow and prosper, or you can spend all of your energy with your doom and gloom predictions and bring about your own end. What would you like to do? And I think the Greenwood realm says the answer is live in common cause with nature. Don't try to master her or destroy her. Let her help you survive. That's what our ancestors knew, and that's what they did.
They also knew that everything that we needed to heal ourselves was in nature, in the universe as well.
That's right.
And
it was all a gift. It was all a gift, and we, rather than receive the gift, you know, at one time we did, but then we decided, we'll go make our own gifts.
Yeah, we're gonna make our own thing, and we're gonna, well. People forget that, what is it, like 70% of all medications that are out there now are derived from herbal formulas anyhow, even though they're created in a laboratory?
Yeah, a lot of them are, and we need to remember, because we can't wipe out all the places that grow these exotic plants that we get medication from. And what they're finding out is all these synthetic narcotics and the synthetic ones are the ones that are causing all these horrible side effects and killing people and causing, you know, cancer and all these things, because our bodies weren't meant to process synthetics. Our bodies were meant to process the organic nature of the world in which we live.
And that is so true. And even like, well, there's everyday plants become extinct. Animals mm-hmm. become extinct.
Oh, absolutely.
Species.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, oh, absolutely. And that's a tragedy, you know. That's a tragedy. And that's why we have to stop thinking of ourselves as the masters of this domain and realize that we're just one of a part connected to every other part, and that we need to honor that and work with that.
So, we have just a few minutes left, Raven. Just tell me just briefly what's ahead for Ravenland. I know you're touring. You go and tour bookstores up in the Massachusetts and New York and the East Coast area. What's up with you? What's your next? What can we expect from you next?
Well, I certainly do a lot of appearances across the country, festivals and conventions, and I teach at local bookstores and bookstores throughout New England. I'm pretty busy doing that. I'm developing what we call the Fellowship of the Pentacle, which is going to be an umbrella organization for a lot of our the things that we want to do as far as teaching materials, products. You know, we're starting to work more with the herbal stuff and creating oils and, you know, different things that can be used, natural products. So we're kind of turning to the old ways, to the rootedness, to the kind of the ancestral remedies and this type of thing. And I think you'll see more of a focus both in my writings and what we do on a daily basis for, you know, our work will all be more about what I call old world witchery.
Oh, I see. So getting back to nature, right?
Getting back to nature and getting back to the rootedness, living in common cause and working with the world and not against it, that seems to be the most sane approach.
Well, I've thoroughly enjoyed speaking with you tonight, as I'm sure our guests and definitely our co-hosts. So I want to thank you for joining us tonight. And we appreciate
thank
your
you,
work.
Thank you, Brenda. It was
a pleasure.
It was nice to get to be able to chat with you a little bit. We're very old friends, and this was great.
It was really awesome. So have a great night.
You too, Brenda.
Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Okay. He was fascinating,
yes,
wasn't
very
he?
Fascinating.
Something
yes.
different.
Mm-hmm.
Well, for those of you that want more information about Raven Grimassi and his upcoming books and projects, you can reach him at www.ravengrimassi.net. At this time, I'd like to take a moment to make a few announcements. Okay. Looks like we have some kind of ghost in the machine here.
A special ghost of the machine.
A special ghost. Where's Doug?
I know that sound.
Just somebody make the sound of a telephone ringing and then answer it.
Name that tune.
Okay. Okay, be sure to stay tuned for the second half of our show to get your free on-air reading with our gifted psychics. We will announce the call-in number later, not now, in the show, so be sure to have your pen and paper ready. If you were unable to catch our last show, which was equally as fascinating on past life regression, you'll find a recorded archive link as well as archives of all of our previous shows on psychicaccesstalkradio.com under Archives in the Archives tab. Please feel free to circulate the archive links and future show details to your friends and families. It's our objective to connect with as many as you as possible, so please share that link with others. And also, make sure to visit our psychicbloggers.com site to learn about just about anything under the sun in the spiritual and psychic realm, from reincarnation to the how-tos of psychic development. If you're interested in a reading from the best professional psychics on the net, you can go to psychicaccess.com, where you'll find the best verified and accuracy-tested psychics, each with their own unique gifts. Each psychic has a detailed profile for you to find out more about them and to choose from the list of some of the most authentic, gifted psychics around. And it's an honor working with Doug and Psychic Access because of the high expectations required of each of us psychics. All of our co-hosts here on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com work at Psychic Access, and if you would like a personal reading from any one of us, be sure to visit us at PsychicAccess.com. We would love to hear from you. And by the way, site owners and webmasters can earn 50 cents a minute on every reading on traffic that is referred to PsychicAccess.com. For more details, visit http://PsychicAccess.com/webmasters. If you like our show, please invite your friends to join us in our chat room and to listen to the psychic viewpoint. There is something for everybody, so please spread the word, and we really appreciate it. Okay, the call-in number for readings at the end of the show, not now but later, is 724-444-4851, and I'm sure Maureen's going to put it in the chat room. Okay,
just.
So... blah, blah, blah.
Sorry.
What did I, was that kind of like a
chastity? It's a chastity.
The chastity rule.
That is not in my vocabulary.
It's interesting because nobody
that
knows
must
it.
Come from my ancestors.
I think so. I think
that's
cool.
Not in my vocabulary.
I put it through your mind.
You did a mind meld on me.
We must be connected in the way that we just
we
know
did.
Now.
I think we're all connected here.
Yes, we are.
So, Maureen.
Yes.
Can you share you have apparently a story about a crystal you attained called a record keeper.
Yes, and you know, and your guest, by the way, was really fascinating. I remember I did speak to you about how I wasn't clear on what I wanted to talk about with this, but now I'm more clear. So, yes, a record keeper. And, you know, now everybody, I've said this many times, but so many people may not have heard it, but I don't speak very well. and I always say, well, I'm from Atlantis. We didn't talk, but I've always used that. But I have always been feeling a connection with Atlantis, whether it's, and this is my view. I'm not saying that I believe it or not. I just know what I know. And the record keeper crystal, I found out many years later, I attained this for somebody else. And it turns out it opened a whole new, I mean, it just opened a whole new thing for me at the time before, right when I decided to do this work professionally, which, by the way, I hadn't planned to do. I didn't study. I was self-taught. But the record keeper is a quartz crystal, and it's the thing about it is you recognize it with there's a like a pyramid, a triangle on one of the faces of the on the crystal. The thing of it is when I picked up this crystal from this guy in his van, I
the
was real
crystal yeah, vendor in the van okay.
Exactly outside the restaurant. I was running as a you know the big boss manager. I was doing it and I was a little bit. And I'm a nice girl, but I was being kind of nasty. Not nasty, but not my nice self. And I was kind of like, what is this guy? And it's all these crystals. And I thought crystals were silly. I thought they were just a new agey, you know, fad. So I was giving them just a lot of hassle. And I go, well, what about that one? Finally, I get this one. And I was going to give it to someone else. It turns out I take it home with me. And I was looking. And all of a sudden, I saw these etchings coming on. And I thought I was losing my mind. And they were like these etchings of a pyramid. And there were lots of them. And then they would go away. I'm not kidding you. I was freaking out. Because I was like, what is this? So my roommate, who was, you know, more like on a mental than I am, but she was even seeing, I know this is very strange. So it turns out they didn't have a lot of you know information about it until now they do. So the record keeper, it's known to be, if you are in possession of one of these crystals, usually it'll end up in the person's hands that's supposed to have it. And I ended up keeping this crystal, never gave it to the person I bought it for, of course. And it will usually leave when it's time. But it's about what he was talking about. Record keepers are what they have found, what they say, whoever they are, but they have knowledge, and it's usually from the ancestors of the Atlanteans. And the people that will be in possession of them, they are able to tap in to the information that was left there, because they said they programmed them with information that they would leave behind. Now, that makes sense to me, of course. Like I said, I'm not saying I believe in everything, but so at the time it came into my life, this crystal, and it ended up that I lost it, like, 4 months later, and I don't know how I had it. 1 minute, it's gone, and it will. It's almost like it is a. It makes sense after. So often, this crystal, metaphorically, the crystal will seek out its owner, and for the purpose of some type of communication, and it will almost like come into their lives, and then it's no accident or coincidence. It'll kind of leave when it's about. And that's exactly what happened. I tell you the truth. This is how it happened. So I feel that this is a little bit about what he. I feel that this may be what he was talking about, because I never heard much. You know, am I right or wrong on that? I mean, it's a tool a certain way.
I believe it's probably a tool.
Yeah, exactly.
That ancestral memory.
Exactly, because it is. And these crystals are known as pretty scarce. But they do hold a lot of wisdom and knowledge of the universe. But the universe, really, I don't think the Atlanteans, but that type of thing, if you're able to tap into it, you can really. And that was, like I said, right before then everything came out. I came out of the closet to do my work. So it was something that was I'll never forget. And it was a good time, but it was really an intense time. So I think that there was something connection with that with me. I'm not saying I'm all that, but you know, then some.
Well, it's interesting that you said about the record keeper, because didn't we have a, I think Steve, one of Steve's shows was on the crystal skull, and I believe that those crystal skulls retained a lot of ancestral memory. Is that
yeah,
right,
that's
Steve?
Right.
Are you there?
Yes, well, there's a theory that they were programmed with all kinds of knowledge, and there are also theories that a lot of that knowledge is not of this earth, that it came from elsewhere. So they're fascinating. I went to a show last year in Nashville, and there were a couple of them on display, and you could actually meditate with the crystal skulls, and it was really funny because one of the guys that had a crystal skull said I could meditate with the skull, and I actually put my head forward and sort of put my forehead to the skull's forehead and meditated with it for a while. And the guy said to me, how was your meditation? How did you find the skull? I said, I found him quite patronizing.
Oh, no!
he didn't laugh.
We're laughing now. That's funny, actually.
Oh, God.
It's British humor. He didn't get it. Bobby would
have
got it.
It's very dry. Extremely dry. So, Steve, do you have any past life memories or memories, ancestral memories that you have tapped into in your work?
I've had lots. I became interested when I was a kid because my sister always used to have very vivid dreams of being in Victorian costume, and she could see the Victorian boots and things like that. And we used to talk about her dreams. And then when I lived and studied in France, I just really felt so comfortable in Normandy, and I started to have all these memories of being raised in Normandy and then going to Paris for some reason. And then years later, I had a past life regression, and I had actually moved from Normandy to... No, actually, it turned out to be from Brittany to Paris. So it's very interesting. We hold so much information from the past, and I believe that we have access to so much more than we process or realize consciously.
You know, and even in this lifetime, people that we encounter, say, even people that we're involved in relationships, it's my belief, and I don't know if that's how everybody else here agrees, but it's my belief that if we're in a relationship with somebody and it's been a love relationship and it's that type of a tie, even after we're gone, they're out of our lives, a little bit of them is still in us forever and ever. I mean, that's just my feeling on that. It seems like it's always present. What do you think?
Well, I've had two relationships, and they were both very different, both very karmic. Neither worked, sadly, but both people I really loved and always will love. And I think when you do work with spirit and you recognize the connections between different people, it feels sad that I wasn't able to create harmony with either of those partners, or put things right, because they were difficult relationships, and I just feel I wanted to make it right, and you can't do that alone. So you just have to accept that, you know, we go our way and we'll be together many more times in future. I think that, in honesty, the way I got past the grief of my first relationship was by saying to myself, well, I will be with my partner Antonio for many, many lifetimes in future. It just can't be this lifetime. And that's something that I found quite healing, to acknowledge that in the context of infinity, well, we will be together and we will make it right. It just can't be done now.
That's very interesting, and that could be very healing to those people out there listening that have relationships. It doesn't seem like it's clicking right now, but they feel this intense connection from the person, but no matter how hard they try, they just can't make it work right now. You know, timing's off. Even maybe the person's with somebody else. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah, so. and that's so hard. When that happens, it's so hard.
It really is.
I feel
is.
For clients when they're in that situation. I've been in that situation when you still love somebody and then they're with somebody else. That's really tough.
It is really tough. So, well, thank you, Steve. Bobby, You know, what do you have to say about the cauldron of memory and ancestral DNA?
I don't know. I'm totally lost on this subject. I sent you a
Did you send me anything? I didn't get anything.
Yeah, I did. Well, not through email. I was sending you something.
Was it like a big question mark? No.
Something on the chat I was sending where you could also ask me about past lives and things like that. But, you know, that's what makes it tough about to send in some of our talking points, because I have no clue on this as to you're going to talk to me. But it was very... Yeah, it was very interesting. You know, I don't know. Quite honestly, there's things that I believe that I know, or, you know, you have a certain level of understanding, and some of the things that I was talking with, or that he was talking about, I didn't resonate with at all. I don't agree with everything he was saying, and yet still very fascinating. You know what I mean? I love hearing other viewpoints on things to see how they view it, because then you're like, huh. And then a couple of days later, I'll be kind of going over it again. I'll just sift through it through my mind, and it'll either start making more sense, or it'll just be like, yeah, no, I'm not there yet, or I just don't agree with that, or you know what I mean? But so it leaves
an expansion. What is it that you don't agree with, that you don't believe about that our ancestral, we have an ancestral DNA that carries through, you know, all these lifetimes and stuff?
I have no idea. I don't think it's necessary. And again, this is just my perspective. I don't think it's necessary to go back and heal our ancestors' stuff. That was them. We expanded
what if,
into.
What if accessing their stuff heals us now?
If it was necessary, then yes. But I don't think it is necessary. Again, we expanded into what we are now because our ancestors were who they were. Consciousness has expanded through the contrast that has taken place over ages, and so we have contrasted into this expansion of more love, more understanding, and that type of thing, because my ancestors were the way that they are. You know?
Hopefully, but sometimes people become more of a schmuck too, do you know what I mean?
Absolutely, in which case, if they needed to, you know, that would tool, wouldn't it, for them to go back and heal their ancestor. You know, if somebody absolutely needed that, then yeah, I guess that would just be a tool that they could go back and heal.
It would
their
be a tool. It's a tool like a regression. I feel it works alongside of a regression for people who. And there are some people, as you know, that really really need a comprehensive therapy. You know, and something that they can really like resonate with to be able to like a tool. You know what I mean? To get past things.
No, I know. I'm just saying. I don't.
Well, that's because we know you're perfect, Bobby.
No, oh my God,
Mr. Perfect Bobby. No, we're kidding.
I'm going to send in his talking points from now on, so we don't.
The sparring has begun.
The sparring is fun.
I love it. It's good stuff. It's all good.
Well, you know, Maureen, you wanted to say something about dolphins, and you know, I love dolphins. They're like the people of the sea.
Yeah, I call them the human. They're the humans of the water. And you know, when now again, Bobby, I appreciate Bobby bringing up some of this stuff about, because I have no clue what was going to be. I didn't understand what this show is, and I really did like what he was talking about, and I feel like I got a grasp on it, or at least I think I did. But again, with the dolphins and Atlantis and everything else, because I've been around the dolphins, I grew up, and like I said, I have never gone to SeaWorld, and I don't think anybody should, like, or any of those places where they're there captive. But when I was a kid, you know, my father, he was a yacht racer, but we'd go to Catalina where I live. You know, everybody's heard of maybe Catalina. We'd go, and the dolphins would come around and just, you know, it's not like we were looking for them. We would be jumping off the boat, to play, you know, whatever, playing in the water. And they would swim with us. And I was a kid, and that's all I remember. It came naturally. And I live at the beach now, and I know when I'm walking along the ocean, you know, and they've been really close to shore. It's amazing how I feel there's some connection. There is. It's like the crystal thing, you know? It's like dolphins and the way I can't talk. My grammar's bad. It's just, there is some, and to me, there's some, you know, that's part of, I guess, like I said, I'm not saying I believe it. It's just what I know. There is a feeling about it that seems like there's some connection, even though, you know, well, really, dolphins, yeah, they're fish, but still, they're Atlantis, well, I kind of, and the crystal, everything. It just kind of makes sense to me. It works for me. works for me.
We've had animal communicators on and stuff, and we're all psychics or mediums, and there's obviously a connection between dolphins and you. They probably speak to you.
Well, yeah, and like I said, even since I didn't know I'd be born into a family that would have a father that would be a, you know what I mean? It all kind of, we all collectively are connected. I mean, I always am one to say, yes, I back Carl Jung all the way about the collective unconsciousness. And yes, we all, there is something about it. We're all connected, every single one of us. We're born like that, all of us. So the dolphins really do make sense, because as a kid, like I said, I never went to SeaWorld. They were just around, you know. And swimming around, I feel normal. Now I'm living at the beach, older now, and, you know. It is interesting how things aren't, there's no mistake about it. Wasn't an accident. I don't think. It's like
it's
the crystal.
Not random.
Yeah, just like that crystal came into my hands for, you know.
Well, thank you, Maureen.
There you have it.
So, Steve, I'm going to ignore your like little message there, but can you tell us a little bit about your experience learning languages and foreign accents? I mean, did they come to you really naturally? Is that what?
I'm really passionate about learning languages, and I've started learning French, and then I had the opportunity to go and study in France, and once I really picked up the language, I picked up the accent really well, and still when I go back to France, people don't realize I'm British, and I thought that it was strange, and my teachers always found it strange that I didn't have any trace of an accent in French. And then when I had that realization that there was a past life connection in France, I thought, well, perhaps I recognize the language from a previous lifetime. And then I learned Spanish as well, and speak Spanish without an accent. So I think that we perhaps do have some heritage with other civilization, other languages, and sometimes when we master something quite easily, then it's perhaps a strength from the past, from before this lifetime.
That makes a lot of sense. Some people grasp languages a lot quicker than others. Some people just can't even get it, and something like that is. And then you had the dreams of when you were in Normandy. It's all very fascinating. So, Bobby, do you have anything else to contribute in your on your thoughts on this subject?
I don't. Thank you, though.
Oh,
I don't want to get in trouble again.
We really won't.
I got in trouble last time. I got.
Oh, you won't get in trouble. You won't get in trouble.
That's
ancestry. Are you from, Bobby? Are you Italian? Right.
Italian. That's correct. Yes. Only half Italian.
The better half.
I was going to say that, but again, I'm a little shy now. No, I thought it was a very fascinating topic. Your guest was great. He was very well spoken. I love a guy who can really express himself well in his ideas, and also how he said he was forming that group as well. I think that's a fun thing, and God bless him for following his bliss.
Well, he's I've known him for a lot of years. We kind of came up in the same kind of metaphysical studies, like all the way from this. We're kind of old school from the 70s, you know, and it was a little bit different. The whole New Age thing hadn't happened, and I think he's kind of going back to his roots now, too.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people in the metaphysical studies, and I've noticed it even, you know, with psychics and stuff and mediums, is we're really getting more down to earth in the way we approach this stuff. It might have been fun and you know, to talk about a lot of fluff and stuff, but I think that people are growing spiritually, and they want the real deal. They want to hear about, you know, facts or something they can really dig their, you know.
Absolutely.
To, you know, grasp onto and you know, to expand their knowledge instead of just talking about, you know, crystals this and crystals that, you know. Not that crystals are bad, but there's not a whole lot you can go from there. See what I mean, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, so. Absolutely. Yeah, there's so much knowledge out there, you know, which is great for anybody who's on the spiritual path. There's so many different facets to choose from, and it could definitely keep you busy for a few lifetimes.
When did you get involved? Did you get involved in the 80s with all this, Bobby?
No, not even. No, it was only about 12 years ago or so when I first started. And so I just kind of took a direct way there. You know, we've talked about some of the tools and things like that you know were available that I didn't use. So you know, I've been around it my life. It seems like I've had friends and things like that of people who would do this or different dimensions of this, and then, like I say, I really didn't discover my own abilities till about 12 years ago or so, still trying to get the hang of everything.
I bet it was a totally life-changing thing, honey.
It was.
Did you think you were going crazy?
You do, because it all uses my, you know, the pictures and things in my head, my imagination, you know, and it was really difficult to try to figure out what I was making up and what was information, you know.
And
what was just BS, right? Seeing weird images, like, what the hell was that, you know? So yeah, it was definitely life changing and life expanding, you know, for sure.
Well, Bobby's the real deal, and I tested it when I had him as a guest at my spiritual salon in Temecula. I'm telling you, those ladies are still talking about you.
That's nice.
I met up with one of them. She goes, "When's Bobby coming back?"
Fun. Well, hopefully they can be there in July for our big event.
Oh, well, they'll have to be. They're all going to be invited. They'll have to show up. Definitely.
Awesome. Awesome.
Okay, so, well, thank you, everybody. I think we had a good little session here. Lots of different opinions, and I know it was a tough subject because it's different, but let's take some callers. Bobby, you're first with someone from Arizona.
Okay. Hi, who's this from Arizona? Hello, Arizona?
Hi. Yeah, hi. I'm a first-time caller.
Well, it's okay. You'll get over it. You'll be all right. What's your name?
I'm sorry. I'm just really sad. I never expected to actually get through. I got a question. I moved here to Peoria. I was born in Indianapolis, Indiana, but at 7 years of age, I moved to Tucson, Arizona. I've been there since I was till 31 years of age. I just turned 34. And I'm living here in Peoria with the mother of my little baby kid.
Cool.
And I'm just wondering. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I just said that was cool. That's all.
Oh, okay, great. And I'm just wondering. My girlfriend had actually the question whether we should go to live in Tucson or stay here.
Well, first, so let me just kind of surround what it is that you were just talking about the move and you're living there and it almost, from your vibration or kind of from your voice, it almost sounded like you needed a little reassurance or a little confirmation that everything that you've done up to this point, you know, has that been good for you and your family? And I'm going to say your family because, obviously you've included that in your whole experience now. So, so let me give that to you and let you know that, yeah, I love the feeling of everything it is that you've done up to this point. I think it's great. You know, there's a lot of life changing. I know that part of it is coming from escape, wanting to get away. And you know, that's okay. We do what we do. If we can try not to escape some things, you know, that's even better because when you avert away from something, you know, it tends to kind of make it stronger and it always follows you. But so what? You did what you did, and you guys moved, and you know, you're trying to start everything new, plant a new garden, if you will, and I love that. I love the feel of it. I love your vibration behind it. Everybody, including the baby, seems to be on the same page, and that means vibrationally that all of you are in the same car, heading the same direction, and that's a really good thing, okay? So, to answer your question, should you move again, or should you just stay, I really get the feeling that you should just stay where you're at right now. Let some things take hold, right? And then if you're going to move down the line, maybe. But again, right now, it just seems more appropriate for you to stay. Now, notice if you want to play around just for a few minutes here, when I tell you to stay where you're at, can you see how that feels in your stomach? Can you get a sense of that when I just say stay?
Yeah, it's kind of like an energy.
Right. Now watch how the energy changes. If I said, I actually think that you should move, I think you guys should move as soon as possible, what just happened to your stomach?
I burped. Yeah, like gas came up my pipes and I burped.
Okay. So clenching, whatever happened down in your stomach, that's your answer. That's how you know whatever feels more clenching is not the direction. Whatever feels more free and open, that's your answer. Do you see what I mean? So if you don't always get a chance to call us, or you don't get a chance to call in, or you just want to discover some of this for yourself, that's how you can kind of tell the right direction that you're headed in, okay? So again, staying where you're at, I think, is a great idea. And just to reiterate, I think where all of you are at right now is just a really great place to be. And, you know, again, if there's some other things that come up for you that you want to ask about, you know, either one of us are on Psychic Access, and you can come on into the chat room and come see me or any one of the other co-hosts here and see if we can't help you out just a little bit more.
Thank you. That's very giving of you. I can't find the word right now.
That's all right. Not a problem. All right, buddy. Well, thanks for calling in. I'm glad you got through.
Okay. Can I just to be stupid now, I'm watching the Heat and Pacers game. I was born in Indiana. Indiana's up at the half by 2 buckets. You got a good feeling for Indiana? Anything?
Connection's breaking up. I'm sorry, you're breaking up. No, I'm not going to answer that, man. Sorry.
No, that's cool, man. I appreciate it.
All right. Take care.
You've been more than generous. That's the word I was looking for. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Take care. Bye.
Thanks, Bobby.
You're welcome.
And I just wanted to mention for all you lovely guests, either on the phone and chat, you can either call in or ask your question in the chat room. But we have to take the call-ins first because of the wait time. I'm going to give the call-in number again for your free reading. It's 724-444-4851. Again, the number is 724-444-4851. I'm sure Maureen's put it in the chat room already. Thank you, Maureen. Please be aware that each call will be automatically placed on hold and will be answered in the order received. Just relax and listen to the show while you wait. Be very clear and direct with your question. And, you know, we really can only take one direct question per person because of all the calls that we get, so it's fair for the other people that are waiting for a reading. Okay, so Maureen, you're next from California.
Well, thank you. Hello, California. How are you? This is Maureen. Hello. Hello. California. I'm here it comes. Hello. Hi. I heard something. Hello, California.
Hello?
And we're all in California.
Hello?
Oh, there you go. I heard something. Hi. Hello.
Hi.
Hi, who's this?
Oh, my name is Rafaela.
I'm sorry, Lesliana?
No, my name is Rafaela, like the archangel.
Rafaela, up there. Hi, Rafaela. This is Maureen. Oh, you're in the chat. You're the person that came in the chat. That's great.
Hey, I was earlier. My first time getting on chat.
Oh, that's great. Thank you for the compliment. That was lovely. We're really happy to see you joining the show every week now, too. I'm ready for you.
Oh, okay. Well, I've been doing a lot of work on myself personally. I'm just wondering how my love life's going, if I need to turn more internally to help heal, or I just don't really know what direction I should go.
So you really are looking for – I get that you're a wise woman for good reasons. And so you're wanting – it's really like I get that you're wanting to know if you're – you know, I do get that you've been very – you've experienced some extremely intense pain in the recent past, that hurts the heart. But, you know, I do get, which has a lot to do, you know, that we're coming to this, into the relationship issue in the present, but it does feel like such a fresh thing. I'm not saying it has to do with who you're with now, but whatever it is, it hurts. And it's, well, anyway, I do feel that whatever you've been doing or working on or doing your boundaries, I do see that there's going to be a turnaround for the better. It's almost like it may feel like there's not a lot going on, or you're not feeling so connected, or maybe it's like, you know, when people don't take the time just to look at each other, whatever's going on, that there's stress of any sort, I see a turnaround, like there's going to be, I'm going to have to say this, like almost like a feeling of baba boom, baba bing.
Yeah, it's like an instant feeling.
Yes. Yeah, you follow what I'm saying?
Totally. I mean, I've been just in a place where I've been doing a lot of like art therapy to help myself, and I just feel like I've been doing a lot of work in order to call that energy, call someone who is correct for me right now in my life. And I don't know if I should continue doing that.
Yes, exactly. That's what I'm saying. So you're a wise woman. Like I said, you you said something about work. I always say, you know, you need to do the work. I call it the work. What you're doing, whatever you're doing as that goes, it is very, I'm affirming it. You already know this stuff. I'm affirming what you're doing is very right. And also, any woman listening, especially women, well, men too, but women, they don't get it. This is very important for this kind of thing to go on by doing that. So you already know what you don't want. So,
yes.
You know, by doing the work, you're always opening yourself up to, well, dealing with some pretty intense stuff, but you're also wanting to live a life of the true authentic that you are meant to be, and also living in a life with a relationship as such. I do feel that what you're doing is it can be difficult, but I do see that there's going to be a breakthrough. There's something that will lighten it up a bit, I guess is what I'm saying. There is some stuff that's still going on, but I think that you're sorting out a lot of things, and embracing the courageousness of yourself, because there is stuff that's traditional, things that are traditional, orthodox. You're focusing on what's going on with that, or where you place things. But you know what? You're moving forward into where you're wanting to go, and I see you obtaining exactly what you desire. And also working through yourself. It's going to be difficult, and I think things that you thought you desired are no longer working for you, are no longer part of what you're. Deal is, you know, the walls. You're rebuilding a foundation, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I totally feel like that. I feel like when I look at the tower card, that's what it reminds me of. I feel like I'm just building a new foundation, and sometimes it gets a little hard for me when it's so quiet, but I think I'm working for a good cause, you know?
Yes, and you know what? It is hard. And everybody, take note of this, and I really admire that you brought this up, because it's extremely difficult, but you're going to be extremely grounded as far as where you stand or where you don't stand on things. Rebuilding a foundation is not something it's just a little change you go through. It's actually going through your values and your morals or your belief system. You're doing good, and it is going to feel difficult, but I do see a little bit of a nice little easygoing break for you, like I said, which would be fair. and it's... You know, it's almost like, 'cause when you get into this, it gets pretty deep, and it's private.
Oh, yeah.
You can't verbalize it.
I'm just like sorting everything out and just really trying not to like leave any stones unturned. That way, I can be the best person I can, so I can attract the best person for me.
Absolutely,
in my life.
You are doing exactly what I would say. I wouldn't wish on my worst, but you are doing exactly. You know what? You're doing what needs to. Again, I hope people are listening to this, because you're a good example, and I admire you, because it is usually something that people will run from. They don't want to do it. They'll just go into the next thing, the same thing. And I bless your heart, because I think it's fine to hear. I like hearing. I like getting these calls, because it's very, very, it's very uplifting for me, let's put it that way as well. I'm getting a lot back from your call.
Oh, good, really, because I feel like, you know, if I don't address these things, then I'm going to get sick emotionally, and I don't want that right now in my life. So it's just like I try to go to all the little corners and look around and make sure it's cleaned out before I move on, you know.
I wouldn't change a thing what you're doing. I would also be, during this time, I would also be very kind and respectful and gentle to yourself as well. Because I see that you can tend... You at times to get so overwhelmed with like everything, your expectations are so high that you would get really upset towards within yourself, but you can't pull, you know, you're a strong one, but that's the only thing that you need to be kind and gentle and respect yourself through this process Absolutely.
Thank you. That really helped.
Pardon me?
I said, thank you. That really helped. My mom always says, like, you're exactly where you're supposed to be at this time, and you just got to embrace it, you know? And I feel like that's kind of where I'm at right now. And I think that talking to you really confirmed exactly how I'm feeling already. Oh, so it's just, it's good to hear it.
Yeah, and that's exactly when I said, you know, I'm just affirming what you know. And I say, and I admire you, and my hat's off to you. I'm wearing a hat. Okay, let's say I am. My hat is off to you, and I appreciate you calling. Very much so.
Thank you. I appreciate you coming to the show very much so, too, as well. Oh, yeah, I love it. Every Thursday.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, too. Goodbye.
Bye.
Thanks, Maureen.
Sure.
Steve, you're next with a caller from Illinois.
Thank you, Brenda. Hello. Who's calling from Illinois?
Hello.
Hi, what's your name?
Hello?
Hello? Can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
Hi, what's your name?
Can you hear me? Roz.
Roz, how can I help?
What life and direction is my love life going? I really need it to, I have myself out there. I really need for it to flourish. I'm open and receptive. I'm a very spiritual person, and I want to attract someone who's just like me. You know what I'm saying? I'm getting it all together. I'm, you know, moving up with my finances and my job and everything.
Okay, well, Roz, you know, I feel as though you're doing the right things. I believe, and my experience is that 50% of the outcome we get in life is to do with the energy that we project at the situation. It's our mental alchemy. It's what most people call the law of attraction, but it's the power of the mind, the power of our energy to project and create outcomes that we really want. I feel that you're absolutely right. I feel that you've done lots of work on yourself, lots of inner work. And I feel that the right solution for you is to enjoy life, have fun, and, you know, celebrate yourself. I'm drawn towards the end of the year, to be honest with you. I feel that you meet somebody after the summer. It feels like October to me. But, you know, I honestly feel, Roz, that we meet or we magnetize the right relationship when we feel really good about ourselves, when we truly love ourselves. Then we resonate self-respect, high self-esteem, and somebody that also feels that good about us comes into our lives.
I have high standards, but it seems like I keep attracting junk. I don't want nobody else's baggage. I don't want nobody else's husband or boyfriend. I want my own. I don't share.
Well, you're being tested, or you're testing yourself. You know, we set these expectations, don't we, of in our career, in our personal lives, in all different ways. And the test is whether we stand up against the expectations that we set, or whether we compromise. So you have to continue to be discerning and wait for the right partner, the right relationship. And if you approach it that way, then you will. But don't, you know, so many people put their lives on hold thinking, oh, you know, I want to meet the right person. I want to meet the right person. Enjoy life now.
Mm-hmm.
And when you feel like good about life, you live now and you celebrate yourself, then a great relationship comes, because we're not dependent upon it. It's detachment in the law of attraction.
Because I feel that some people come in your life to pass and not to stay.
Sorry, say that again, Rose.
I feel that sometimes, my mother used to always tell me, some people come in your life to pass and not to stay.
Well, that's true, but you want a partner that's going to be with you for the long term, and that's why you've got to be really discerning. I always say to clients, you know, if you were setting expectations for me, say I was your friend and you really cared for me, then you would expect me to hold out for somebody that's really right for me. But so many people don't do that for themselves. So you've really got to view yourself like
right
you're
person.
Your best friend.
They settle. You mean tell me they settle?
Sorry?
Hello? You said you mean they settle just for whatever that comes along?
Yes. Well, they wouldn't necessarily let their best friend or their sister settle. So you've got to be your best friend, your sister, your everything, and hold out for the best. But I feel if you continue to do that, then you will meet somebody after the summer. It feels like fall. I'm drawn to October, and I'm not saying this is the date on which you'll meet somebody, but I know the 27th is going to be an important date for you in the future. So remember the number 27 as well.
27th of what, August? 27th of what?
Just the number 27. The 27th is going to be an important date that you'll celebrate in the future.
Oh, 27.
Yeah. And I wish you lots of luck.
But you said this would happen for me. This would happen for me around October, you feel?
I do feel October, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. But enjoy life. I wish you lots of luck.
I can make it or break it, right?
Yes.
Hello? You say I can, it's my life.
Yes, go for it. Create what you want to create, don't compromise. And I wish you lots of luck.
Don't what? Would you say do what with it?
I said I wish you lots of luck.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Okay, take care.
All right, thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye, Ross.
Thank you, Steve. And the next caller is for me from Georgia. Hi, Georgia.
Hi, how are you?
I'm okay. What can I do for you this evening, honey?
I want you to see, I'm waiting on confirmation to have a face-to-face interview, hopefully sometime next week. Do you see positive results with that? Hello?
Let's take a peek on that. It looks like, first of all, there are some things that you're not seeing with this, which means you may have to wait a little bit longer. When are they supposed to get back to you?
They didn't say, they just told me I had to do the application, which I did yesterday, last night, so they got it first thing today, and then they would schedule the interview.
It looks like you're it's about 2 weeks away. I do see that them giving you a call is about 2 weeks away. I see that there are some things that you, the things that you're not seeing here is there's perhaps some further paperwork is what I'm looking at. However, I do believe that within about 2 to 3 weeks, you are going to be offered a position. And because I see money coming your way, so monetary gain. I'm also seeing that a man puts in a good word for you. Is it a man that was your contact?
No.
Well, it feels like a man is going to be somebody who you will perhaps interview with or talk to when they contact you. you do, it feels like it's a good time to move on from what you've been doing because you're gone just about as far as you can in that. I really do see a lot more creative energy around this position. You're going to be celebrating. I really feel it's about 2 to 3 weeks away.
Now, when you said 2 to 3 weeks away from them calling me for an interview, but then you said 2 to 3 weeks from, and I would be hired. So the
No. I see that you'll hear from them within 2 weeks, and then on a week later, it's going to be where you're, you know, talking to them about starting, when can you start, things like that, because I see the financial gain at that time. So it looks like you're going to get the job. It looks like it's definitely there, out there for you.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know you're stressed out about it, but it feels like it came your way in an unusual way. It's almost like you weren't looking for it, and I believe that these type of things, you know, they're kind of, you know, it's a gift from the universe.
Now, would I be reporting to the man or a woman?
You're going to be reporting to a man. Mm-hmm. There's a woman involved, but I feel you'll be reporting to a man. Do you know anybody that works there?
No, but the person, the pre-screen person said the hiring manager was a woman. That's why I'm a little confused.
I feel you're going to interview with a man, though, because I see a man involved. Yeah, that's what I see. So,
just 2 weeks. Should I contact them before the 2 weeks is over to just make sure they got my application? Or
I would
just
do
wait
that.
It out?
Why not? It's a follow-up. You sent it out. It's just good protocol. It feels like that's a good idea to do. So say, hope you got my application. Let me know when you want to, you know, speak to me further, blah, 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 something like that. But Wheel of Fortune is on this, which means it turns in your favor.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, welcome. Okay, Bobby, California.
Hello. Who's online for California?
Hello. Hey, it's Ivan. Can you hear me?
Hi, Ivan. Yeah, just barely, but go ahead.
Okay. I'm calling. I have a pretty specific question.
Okay.
I am moving in about a week or so into a friend's house, and I've had some concerns in the back of my head about, you know, whether I'll be able to afford this move, whether this is good, and some, like, financial questions, but just wanted to know, what did you see as far as my move?
It feels good. It feels good for right now, but it also feels just like a step. In other words, it feels like you're not going to be there long. You know, this is a pit stop of sorts. You know, the feeling, and I'm not saying that this is your situation, but you know the feeling of, look, I just got kicked out of my house, or I just left my house. Do you have a place where I can stay for a little while until I get back on my feet? And the friend says, sure, you can come stay with us. You see what I mean? So
yeah.
I'm not saying that's your situation specifically, but the feeling behind it, if you understand what I mean.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so, but that's good because, you know, you've got so many things have changed. I don't know what happened last October for you, but whatever came into place that really started setting all of this in motion, it feels career-like to me, but it could be anything. But that's really what started. And now the second stage of that, the second part of that, is going to kick in here soon, about the next 3 months or so. And then that's why I'm saying that this move is kind of temporary and you're just kind of being where you are right now just to get back on your feet. So financially,
oh, wow.
Not really.
It's interesting, yeah, because I've been in my place like a few years now, but like it's really been kind of stressful, like a roommate that I've had, and I've just been ready to go.
Yeah, absolutely. That's good. Well, see, and you take a look, just in the past couple of years, you know, we talk about a lot about the law of attraction, and that's one of my coaching points. And for you, things have I guess I would have to, if I were standing in front of you, I would be asking you why you're so concerned about finances and things like that, because, you know, in the past couple of years, everything it is that you've wanted or have thought about, it has really started to manifest. I mean, you got kind of living with the roommate, needed to get out, and you are. You know, and
yeah,
then again, these other projects that we're talking about, you start thinking about it, and you start making the changes, and they happen. So there's nothing to worry about. You got everything going in your favor. Just keep, you just got to stay stable, because we tend to second guess ourselves, don't we? I know there's a lot of people in the chat room earlier that were talking about feeling lost and not trusting yourself, even when you do follow your heart, and it can be tough, but you're doing just fine with all of that.
Good. Yeah, I've kind of like, whenever something changes in my life in one way, it changes in other ways also, so I'm kind of thinking maybe something job-wise would change soon, so I'm just kind of going with it.
Yeah, I totally agree. That's. I think that's what I'm feeling is, again, whatever happened in October of last year started that stage of career, and then you're going to come up on the second stage here in the next 3 months or so. And then, again, you're already on your way. Even though you haven't arrived yet, don't question it because it's coming, and stay the course and then you'll get that, and it'll really start flying for you, especially, like I say, in just another 3 months. It's not long.
Awesome.
All right. If there's anything else I can ever do for you, just let me know. Like I say, all of our co-hosts here work on Psychic Access, so if there's anything we can ever do for you, just come look us up on there.
Yeah, I love it. All right.
Thanks. All right, buddy. Take care.
Take care. Thanks.
That was splendid, Bobby. Very positive.
Very nice word, splendid. I like that.
Splendid. Maureen.
Yes.
South Dakota.
And how did I know? Hi, South Dakota. This is Maureen.
Hello. Right.
Hi. And who am I speaking with?
My name's Chris.
Hi, Chris. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. And what may I help you shed some light on?
Well, I actually just moved out to Illinois in end of January, kind of an opportunity to kind of help a friend out, present something to me, so I took it. And, you know, I'm still lost as far as, like, careers go, because I moved out here also kind of help further my career, and I feel really kind of lost on which directions to go.
Okay. So I understand you moved out to help a friend, but you also have the opportunity to also help yourself. I got it.
Right.
Okay.
I have been wanting to get out of the state for a number of years, and
right.
It came to me, I said, well, go with it. So
do two things at one time. You could do the same. I got it. Actually, that's a very good way of looking at it. You know, Chris, I really do get you did the right thing by what your intent was, because I see that there was probably, before you moved in January, there was stagnation, and I saw, and you moved forward out of that, which is very, very positive. Now, which is interesting to me is, are you in a relationship, and I'm asking this because it has to do with what you're asking me, but is there, I see a female around you, and,
well,
and,
Well, my roommate's a female, and she actually was going through a divorce, and that's why I'm out here to help her through the divorce.
Okay, this is no bad intention towards her, but it just appears like her energy, so if you live around her, her energy is pretty intense, and she can be really, and I guess I could imagine why, and that can sometimes, you know, we're colored by our environment, it doesn't, you know, you're very sensitive, I think, empathically picking up on people's energies, where maybe it'd be best if you couldn't, but that's the way you are. And I think that can really be debilitating sometimes. But I do, like I said, I'm not thinking you're consciously, and she's constantly doing this consciously, but it is affecting you. Now, I feel that because of that, you're very, you know, are you, Chris? You look like you're very sensitive to female energies stuff going on. And it is who you are. And I think, though, it can affect you in a way where you feel judgment, like you feel like you can't move or you can't see clearly for your own well-being. You really need to, I think, spend some time with yourself, whatever that may be, where you're comfortable, whatever area you may go to. I don't know where that would be for you. For me, I live at the beach, so I go to the beach and sort of contemplate my torments or whatever. But I think that you need to get grasp hold back of yourself, because I think this is a very good opportunity for you where you are, but because of what's happening around you and the environment of others, which is not their fault, I think that it's taking a little bit of a toll on you. To where, do you follow what I'm trying to say to you?
Kind of,
that's an interesting word. I do also get that you need, I'm not saying you need, I'm encouraging you, there's something about some type of, maybe unconventional schooling, but some type of schooling of learning that I feel that would be to your advantage. And I do get, within the next 4 months, also, I feel that there's going to be a feeling of, you're not holding on so closely to your things or your material, things are going to start feeling a lot less like you're needing to do so. Meaning, I do feel that you're going to start getting on the right track, but there is some type of, like I said, something you must, like I said, not in a conventional sense, but something of a certification or course that would help you more so. And I think this is something that you passed by already that maybe you were planning on taking or getting more knowledge about. And I feel that would be a very good benefit to you. But I just think that you need to pull yourself up and instead of everybody at what everybody else is going through, really focus on yourself. You can be there for people and help them along sometimes, but, you know, really just focus on you. And that way, I do see you heading in a good, positive direction. I just think you get kind of, you have a lot going for you, absolutely. There's so much going for you. I just think you kind of get stumbled into some energies of, you know, other people's stuff. Mm-hmm. So as far as you making a career change, yes, I think it's a good timing for it. And yes, I do also feel that you need to seek out some added, like I said, added, I can't the word, sort of, I don't know what word I'm looking for, but added knowledge for something. And I do feel that you ought to go for what you exactly want. Don't think that you can't get it. Your fear of poverty is just a fear that's not going to happen. It will happen for you. But it takes time and patience. But I think that you can also apply yourself to things that maybe you think aren't a big deal, but they are. Like, seek after something you need to get more knowledge on. I think within 4 months, you're going to be, things are going to start really opening up to you.
Okay.
And it may not be that what you thought you were going to get into is going to be something. It might be a little bit different, but kind of like an opening through that. I don't know what you know, we didn't get into that, but I hope you followed me, Chris. Probably.
Okay. Yeah. It does make more sense, so.
Well, just, Chris, you need to be fearless, go for it, and just also be open. There's something else that I think is going to open to what you thought you wanted to do, and I feel it's very positive. And there you have it. There you have it.
Okay.
Okay, thanks, Chris. But
thank you.
And I wish you well. Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks, Maureen.
Sure.
Okay, Steve, you're next with Virginia.
Thank you, Brenda. Who's calling from Virginia?
Hi, Steve. This is Doreen. How are you?
I'm well, Doreen. Hello. How are you?
I'm good, Steve.
Good. How can I help?
I'd like to know if you're picking up on, I have a friend, and I'd like to know, do you see him wanting a relationship with me, or is it more of a friendship?
No, I feel that it's more than a friendship. I pulled a card, actually. I don't always use cards, but I pulled a card. I got the Ace of Cups. And the cups do represent feelings and romance. And the Ace is the beginning. The Ace of Cups also represents springtime. And now I feel as though it can be more. Have you spoken with him about that?
No, because they're very very hard to read, so to speak. So I'm a little bit guarded myself. I've been doing a lot of work on myself, so I'm a little bit guarded. So I don't know how to approach it, or should I approach it, or just leave it alone?
Well, it really depends on how you want to handle it. What works for one person doesn't necessarily work for the next. I personally believe in being really authentic. And I use the word authentic in the sense that we should be who we are and we should express ourselves. And, for example, if you were my friend and I were attracted to you, my reasoning would be, well, I'd rather start to show you how I feel so that I can determine how you feel. I'd rather know where I stand. So rather than keeping silent and not starting subtly to express how I feel, I would prefer to open up. And
well, I did that before, and the message that I got was they were not interested in a relationship. However, the behavior is saying something else, if that makes sense. Do you understand what I just said?
Yeah, I do. It has to be your choice. The cards say that there is potential for more than friendship, and I trust the cards. But you have to decide how you want to communicate. My preference is to just be authentic, because if it were you and me, I'd rather tell you how I feel, and if you are not interested, I'd rather know, because then I can put my attention elsewhere. I'd rather know where I stand. But it's down to you. It's a personal choice, isn't it? But the cards do say there's potential for more.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay. Well, thank you.
You're welcome. Wish you lots of luck.
Thanks.
Thank you, Steve. Okay, I'm next from North Carolina. Hi, North Carolina.
Hello?
Hi there. What can I do for you this evening?
My name is Joshua.
Hi, Joshua. What do you need, honey?
I was calling because I'm kind of curious. I've been trying to... Now, this one is actually a relationship question because it's just like Virginia's. I've actually been I've been showing this one girl for about the last 2 months about how I feel about her, and she just came out of a bad relationship with a Marine, one of our Marines, and I've actually been friends with her since January. Now, what I'm kind of curious about is she has been kind of wishy-washy about how she feels about me. Sometimes she tells me how she feels. Sometimes she just completely ignores me. What I'm curious about is if she just wants to be friends or does she actually really want to date me like she's been hitting that for a while.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I see her going back and forth because she still has hopes of some resolve from some man from the past. I'm going to hate to say that she's still kind of dwelling on it, but she kind of is. Did he break up with her?
No, she broke up with him because he was ignoring her and she couldn't take it anymore.
Well, you see, she broke up with him because she wanted him to notice her. And it didn't work out for her. See what I mean? So
yeah.
Now she's wondering, well, that didn't work. And she's in a place of confusion because that's kind of unresolved. However, I do see that she's slowly coming around to the fact that, you know what, it's never going to be anything with this other guy. And you're there. And she's had to ease into the relationship between the two of you through friendship.
Yeah.
So her flip-flopping around is flip-flopping until it's real. Let's put it that way. I feel she'll be ready.
I was kind of curious because I'll be talking to her at times for she'll talk my ear off one time all day, then the next she'll just completely ignore me.
Well, this is not the behavior of somebody who's ready. This is the behavior of somebody who doesn't know if she's ready. I mean, she comes out of her shell, then she runs back away. Runs away. See what I mean? Now, I don't feel that this is going to last forever because I do see a genuine attraction between the two of you. And I'm really feeling if you play it cool, because unfortunately she responds to men who ignore her. And I don't want to say that in a negative, but that's just kind of where she is. She's young, right?
Yeah, she's like 24. She's just
she's young and she wants a challenge and the whole bit. So, you know, if you play it cool, I feel you're going to have her coming to you, and that's kind of where you want it to be now, because it's completely off balance, the relationship right now. So I feel you need to draw her in by just, you know, being kind of cool, acting kind of cool, is what I see.
Okay, thank you.
Now, if you want some more information, you can reach me on psychicaccess.com. Have you had a reading online with any of our psychics?
With Raymond. Raymond sat there and said, tell me a little bit like what you said, but he told me to keep doing what I'm doing, and I kept doing what I was doing, but then she started her whole coming in, going back out, coming in, coming back out, going in, coming back out.
Well, I'm looking into her, and I feel that she needs a challenge. Yeah. All right, my dear.
All right, thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Okay, Bobby, we have a call for you, darling, the last one of the evening, but we don't know where this person is from.
They're in the ether. Hello, who's on the phone?
It's Siobhan.
I'm sorry, who is it?
Siobhan, from the chat
Siobhan.
Room.
Siobhan, as in Siobhan?
Yeah, it's Irish.
Wonderful. How are you?
How are you, Bobby? I'm very good, thanks. I was just about to log out, and Julie said to me, don't go, because I might get it. So.
awesome.
Yeah, that is really freaky. Yeah, my question is about work. I've been out of work for quite a while now, and I got quite excited the other day. I found a job, and it's working with... it's a small organisation, and they provide support, professional support to deaf people. And the job is working in the education department as a coordinator. So it looks like a good job. It's slightly, I'm not totally qualified for it, but I could easily do it with a little bit of training. Then today another job came up, and they wanted somebody to start immediately, but it's only for 3 months. But it's good money, and I've already applied for that. So basically, I'm sitting on the one about the deaf organisation, and I've already applied for this other short-term one. So I was wondering what you could pick up on them for me, please.
So you're wanting to know which job you should take from those?
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah, if you could, whatever you pick up, really, because I'll probably apply to the second one, and I don't know how soon the other people would want me to start if they like me.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, you need to stick with that. Number one, you know, when you're in a place of wanting to create and get a job and such, you're putting out all those vibrations, and it's kind of funny. You know, I like it to a relationship sometimes where, you know, you don't go out with anybody. Nobody comes and asks you for your number. And then the minute that you end up getting a boyfriend, all of a sudden you have all these other guys that are interested. You know what I mean? You're like, well, where the heck were you guys when I was single? And so what happened is that the creation is all starting to come in at one time. And I do like the feeling of staying at the first one that you had mentioned just for stability and that type of thing. When these other jobs come up and you are talking from a place of still being a little desperate, still needing money, still needing to get that income coming in or still be doing something, right? And you don't need that anymore. So I would stick with the one job that you mentioned first, because that seems to be more suited towards you. I think it would help to heal you very much so. You know, when we go into a particular job, a lot of us go into this 9-to-5 office, you know, with cubicles. This job you're being drawn to, not so that only so that you can help them, but I get that that particular job is going to help heal you as well, because there's a lot there that needs to be healed, you know.
Right,
so
okay.
It would be really good for you to take that. You don't have to grab the other job out of the necessity of needing money and needing to do this and that. You know what I mean? You don't need all of that
okay.
now. So stick with the one that's best suited for you. You're in a great position to do that.
You feel I'll get the job, do you?
Well, I mean, yeah, it feels pretty on line with me. I mean, unless you do something that sabotages it, but otherwise, I definitely feel that you will. That I don't see any reason right now what would be holding you back. I don't see anything that would slam a barrier there. You know what I mean? The only thing that I can see that might make a difference is you personally have a tendency to kind of, you know, your thinking goes a little back and forth. You know what I mean? Like you're thinking one way and then you kind of go in the other, and you do that and it kind of confuses the universe a little bit, you know. So if you want this job, really decide that and stay on track with it. And that's a good thing. Do you see?
Okay. Great. I'll do that.
Okay, awesome. Well, thanks for calling in. I appreciate it. I'm glad I got to talk with you.
Yeah, thank you very much for taking the call.
Okay, all right, sweets. Take care.
Cheers. Bye.
Bye.
Well, thank you, Bobby.
You mean, where's my... I mean, thank you, Steve.
Oh, thank you, Bobby. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. I mean...
This is great.
Okay, well, you know what? That brings us to the end of yet another fantabulous, wonderful show. Thank you, Doug, who works behind the scenes and keeps us on track as our executive producer. And thank you to my co-host for joining me tonight. Next week's show will be anchored by Steve. Steve, what do you have for us, planned for us?
We've got a great guest next week, Brenda, a lady called Teresa Richardson, who's absolutely fantastic, and she works very closely with the angels. So she's going to be speaking with us about the archangels and angels, and also telling us how to connect with them and integrate the that connection with the angels into our spiritual work.
Oh, that's just, I can't wait. That's going to be fun.
It will be.
Oh, definitely. All right, well, good night, everybody.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hello, my name is Res Miranda. If you're having relationship, career, or life issues, I'm inviting you to experience what it's like to have access to professional, highly accurate psychics and spiritual advisors you can trust to care and help you. Register now to get your free 6-minute reading by telephone or chat. Get answers. Get access. Psychic access. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. PsychicAccess.com.